Accession number 15111, reel 2.
Wing Commander Higginson, reel 2. You were just saying this was an impossible question for him to ask.
No, impossible question to answer. But I said, you take your box of matches, and when you see the aircraft exceeding the size of the box of matches, then you can assume that'll be a German aircraft. In other words, he's close enough to attack you as we are standing off. And the answer I got was, look here, pilot, if you come anywhere near me, we'll bloody well shoot you down. And that was it.
Is that what they did in practice?
No, they didn't, but that was the answer I got. Then convoy patrolling went on through February, March, and April.
Did you go to France?
Wait a minute. This was about the time then that
that was the time that Norway blew up before France.
This is the sort of time when activities on the land in Europe are beginning to hot up, and I see that we were sent down to Gravesend to operate from there to patrol Ostend and Zeebrugge, 12 aircraft, then Blankenberg, Flushing, Gravesend to Martlesham Heath. Escort for a bomber force attacking Breda reconnaissance in Western Holland.
Did you run into the enemy aircraft first of all then?
Yes, we did. We had contact with the German aircraft and the anti-aircraft. And then in May, the 17th, 1940, I beg your pardon, May the 16th, 1940, we were ordered to France. That's one flight of 56, B flight, 56, six aircraft. We were ordered to Vitry in France, and we formed up with another flight to make a squadron, to become a squadron. And on the 17th we did our first patrol east of Brussels, and I attacked 126. This was a Fieser Storch, very much like the Lysander, but very much more mobile. And it's interesting that later on in the war, when I was given command of 83 Group Communication Squadron, our AOC, Air Marshal Broadhurst, had captured or had made arrangements for arranged for a Fieselstorch which had been captured in the Middle East to be shipped back to the UK in a box, and I was asked the squadron I was commanding then was asked to assemble it. I flew this aircraft, therefore, later on, quite a lot, and I found that you could land it and take it off almost in a cricket pitch. And my first experience of one was this in 17th.
17th of May.
No. Yes, 17th of May. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't shoot this thing down, because there were no fighters defending it. I was on my own with it. And it was, as soon as I got anywhere near it to fire, it would turn around and come facing me. And its maneuverability and its ability to fly at slow speeds was quite fantastic. Anyway, that was my first attack at the German aircraft, to which I was unsuccessful. Then on the 17th also, the flight took off in formation, and it was a beautiful summer's day with big white clouds, and we suddenly passed one of these big white clouds, and looking to the right where the cloud was, and behind it there were five Dorniers in strict formation, going in the opposite direction to us, and they had no fighter escort. We a B-flight attacked them, and we shot down five of them. The first one I shot down caught fire and crashed in the wood. That was my second engagement, and certainly my first successful one.
But it says here there were two that you got.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry, that's quite right. I took off and shot down the Dornier 215 southeast of Douai, and the aircraft crashed in the wood. I'm getting mixed up now. Yes, the Heinkel 111 also crashed in the wood, but my logbook says near, and then it doesn't say what.
So the first plane you shot down
was a Dornier 215
southeast of Douai.
Douai.
And the second one you shot down was
a Heinkel 111. Yeah.
And that was east of Cambrai.
Yeah, that's right.
Did they fire back at you?
No, not as far as I can remember. It was the simplest thing you can imagine. They were in perfect formation, lovely day. We turned, six of us turned around and got behind them and shot five of them down.
Maybe they didn't see you.
Could be.
Did they jink to escape?
No. Anyway, that was a busy 17th of May.
Were you still 56 squadron?
I was still 56. B flight 56. We operated alongside another flight, which was commanded by Air Marshal Freddie Roger. He was then obviously a flight lieutenant. I can't remember the number of the squadron. And then we went on to do offensive patrols, and the next day on the 19th we took off the escorts from bombers. We were attacked on taking off, and flying officer Rose was killed. And that's the, where's the picture I showed you?
Don't worry about that.
I've now been sent the other day. I received a picture of his gravestone in Abbeville.
You showed me a photograph of his gravestone
in France. That's right.
And that was by 15 ME-109.
That's right. Yeah, that's where we attacked off on taking off. The whole external organization there was absolutely hopeless. We had no radar, very little communication with whoever was controlling us. I can't remember who it was now. The telephone itself was unreliable. The only messages we got came by telephone when the telephone was working. And in some cases, we took off on sight of the enemy aircraft rather than being warned about them coming.
Did those 15 ME-109s come anywhere near you?
Yes, they did.
Was it just sheer luck that you escaped?
Absolutely. Then the aerodrome itself was attacked by 12 ME-110s. Three aircraft were shot down. Four enemy aircraft bombed, nine of our aircraft destroyed on the ground. We then had to evacuate Vitry to Noirmoutier, and again there was no organization to tell us where to go or when to go. It's interesting to me anyway here that when we got to Noirmoutier, I landed, and as I got out of my airplane, the CO, whoever he was, I can't remember his name now, said, "You have got to go back in my car with my driver to Vitry and destroy any aircraft that are serviceable there and any petrol supplies that are there." Petrol in those days in Vitry had been sent to us in 5-gallon drums. I think they were 5-gallon. They're certainly not the normal drums. They were, how can I call it, square drums, if it, no, and they were in a hidden on the side of the aerodrome in a location near a hedge. Anyway, the driver and I went back, and on the way back we had to drive on the pavement sometimes because the roads were packed with people and motor cars. That some of the motor cars had mattresses on top to prevent them being attacked, or to, not to prevent them being attacked, to help them protect themselves if they were attacked. And it was certainly most extraordinary journey, one of the strangest and most extraordinary I've ever undertaken. And we got back to the aerodrome, to Vitry, and I had my revolver with me, and I tried to set two aircraft on fire by firing into the petrol tanks and letting the petrol drip down onto the ground, then lighting a match and throwing it into the flames and retiring as quickly as I could. In neither case was I successful. But then we went to the petrol dump, and that we set on fire in the same sort of way, and that went up in flames. And I decided then, as far as I could judge from the noise of the firing and so on, that the Germans were on the other side of the aerodrome. Anyway, I wasn't going to take any more chances, and I told the driver to return as quickly as he could. Oh, and one other thing I'd forgotten. As we were about to fly out from Vitry to Noirmoutier, Flight Sergeant Spreadborough, who was our the in charge of the maintenance section of B flight, asked me what he should do. We were flying out. I said, "For God's sake, get hold of a bus or any accommodation or any means of transport you can and push off back to the west and go as far as you can to the coast." It's unbelievable, a lack of organization. No wonder we got pushed out of France. Anyway, when we drove back to Noirmoutier, I was flying Infernuts. That was my aircraft, 2440 Infernuts, and I told the driver, "There it is." I went across to it, and just as I got there was somebody with a parachute on about to climb into the aircraft. So I rushed up and got hold of him and said, "Where do you think you're going?" He said, "I'm going back to the UK." I said, "You're not in my bloody airplane." And I pulled him off and I got into the airplane and took off and I flew back to Northwheel. There's the Noirmoutier to Northwheel. There it is, 1 hour 30.
What rank was this chap who was trying to...
I don't know. What, I wasn't interested in his rank. I was only interested in the fact that he was going to take my airplane back to the UK. And I wasn't going to allow that. So I pulled him off and got in. We then had a few days off flying. And the next flight I show was in collecting new airplane, 1992. I think that was probably a Mark II airplane, I'm not sure. And the next offensive patrol that is in my logbook is in the, on the 23rd of May, offensive patrol Calais and surroundings. No luck landed at North Weald. Back again. And then we operated from Manston on the May the 23rd to Saint-Omer, Calais, offensive patrols over Dunkirk, offensive sweep over Saint-Omer, Dunkirk, patrol Dunkirk, right through every day. Once or twice every day we did a patrol, most days, anyway, 23rd, 24th, 25th, patrolling Dunkirk. And one unfortunate thing I remember here was one of the other pilots in 56 called Jim Elliott, another sergeant pilot, who had met my wife's sister, they had got married about 6 months before this period, and they were expecting their first child. He was on patrol with me, and I saw him shot down and killed over Dunkirk. I shot down my fourth victim. There was an ME-109 on the 29th of May.
Your third victim appears to have been on the 19th of May when the German Air Force was attacking Vitry airfield.
That's right.
What had you shot down then?
ME-110.
Any recollections of the 109 that you shot down over
Dunkirk?
No,
Dunkirk was an extraordinary operation. People were leaving by boat, and there were big ships and little ships, and there was on some occasions no aircraft in the sky. On other occasions the bloody sky seemed as if it was full of airplanes. We talk about patrolling Dunkirk. What we did is we flew over to the beach and then did a few circuits around and either got into combat with the enemy or met nothing. The Germans at this time, of course, were travelling down France then, they were, to some extent, that was more important to them than the evacuation of Dunkirk, and a lot of their aircraft were moving with the front line down to the Somme, towards Abbeville and these places down that side of the country.
But do you remember that 109 that you shot down?
only that it was a 109. I mean, it was on its own. No, I don't remember any more about it.
Can you understand these army complaints about the RAF at Dunkirk?
What sort of complaints?
Well,
they didn't have enough protection?
Yes, they were supposed to be saying, where is the RAF?
Yes, well, that's understandable. We had a limited number of aircraft in the UK, and the war was still going on, as I said earlier, still going on down the coast and inland of France. And as my logbook shows later on, that we were doing offensive sweeps at Amiens,
Rouen,
and all these places, and escorting bombers and so on, all in May and June, and there weren't enough aircraft to give them complete protection. But I think they did jolly well when you consider that they had, as far as I could see, little or no other means of defence, they were put it, could put up very little resistance, and they evacuated so many people. I don't know how many it was evacuated, but I think there was a in my opinion, quite a lot.
So this takes us into June 1940. Were you still at North Weald then?
Still at North Weald. Still with the 2-4 N for nuts.
What kind of duties did you have after Dunkirk?
Well, we were offensive patrols near Amiens.
That's 6th of June.
Landed Bois near Rouen. Why I did that, I don't know. We were at this time, I remember, operating as a wing. In other words, 151 Squadron, which is the other squadron at North Weald with us, and which was commanded at that time by Teddy Donaldson, Squadron Leader Donaldson. I don't know what rank he finished up. But he was leading the wing, and we operated as a wing. And in my opinion, this was a big mistake, because it was all right for those in the front, but Arsène Charlie, like myself, we always got attacked first of all. The best formation the formation which I was keen on was in pairs, and then the squadron would have six pairs, and the pairs would go off to attack whatever it was, if whatever we met. I notice here, I think, I'm not sure whether I've mentioned it before, but we were doing some bomber escort. This is for the rest of May. We must have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Was this there escorting Blenheims?
Yeah, Blenheims, I think so.
Where were they bombing? In France?
They presumably, it doesn't say so in my logbook, and I can't remember. I presume they were bombing targets which were being defended by the British Army, and yes, I can remember, that was that one, the 15, the whole wing. We went down over the Somme, and I think that was to attack, the bombers were going to attack targets where the battle, the ground battles were going on. Sea sweep, Dieppe, Le Havre.
Seems you also spent some time in June 40 at Tangmere.
That's right. Hawkins, Tangmere. The sweep, sea sweep, Dieppe and the harbour we've done from Tangmere. These were mostly. My logbook does show, I think, that there's very little air defence activity. It was all bomber escort and offensive operations around this period, and convoy patrols.
We're now coming into the Battle of Britain period, of course, in July.
July, yeah. And, that was a fairly hectic period. Every day, 2 or 3 flights. Every day to Northfield, flap return, cowling falling off, convoy patrol. And then on July the 14th... 15th, I beg your pardon. We were protecting this convoy, which was attacked by Tredonia 215s. I shot one down into the sea, and Flight Lieutenant Gracie, Jumbo Gracie, also got one.
Was that in the English Channel or
yes,
the
yes.
Straits of Dover?
No, that was out in the
North Sea.
Yeah. Then on the 23rd of July, I was awarded the DFM.
Do you remember that Dornier that was on the convoy patrol attack?
Yeah. No, not that one.
Was there much difference in shooting down a Dornier and a Heinkel? Were they just the same?
I couldn't tell the difference, except they're different airplanes, but I mean, their defense was something that you didn't really have time to make an appreciation of whether it was a Dornier or a Heinkel in terms of attacking it, whether you came from the left or the right, or the best way that I found to attack it was from underneath and climb up, opening fire when you're climbing up within the range.
So you preferred to attack from underneath?
That's right, yes. That limited the ability of the, well, I thought it did anyway, the ability of the air gunners to defend them. Then throughout
this is July.
July, from the 24th to the end of the month, we were doing convoy patrols. And then in August, escorting a damaged destroyer. There was a destroyer coming up the channel to the Thames, and it was badly damaged, and the arse end of it was in the water, and we escorted it.
Did the German Air Force attack it?
No. I noticed then that in August we were doing
night flying.
Oh yes, no. I thought it was a night flying, a night defense, but we weren't. This is we flew back at night. In other words, on the 1st of August, we did 3 flights, and then flew back to Northfield at night. And the same thing on the 6th of August, and again on the 9th of August. We were now operating again from Rochford, from Manston, were we? No. They were operating to Rochford, yeah. And then on the 12th of August, we met about 27 Dornier's. Of bloody sky was full of damaged one badly. And it was last seen pouring out smoke. My own aircraft was badly shot up.
Do you remember the hits on your own plane?
I remember them.
Where were you hit on the plane? Where was the plane hit?
Uh,